is actually veggie straws.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All
right.
Ooh.
You hear that, OC?
I don't know what she's going on. You sounded so old, right? You sound like an old man.
When the uprise starts to play, I got to clear my pipes, my brother. But I just want to say something. Welcome to the Jason and OC podcast, but I have to change the way I present this. It's the J Bell and Two Times podcast. Because OC's nickname is Two Times, and if you don't know why, let me tell you why. Because the man won two Super Bowls. And for those that don't know, his name is in the stadium for life. The man can take his kids to the MetLife Stadium in New York. I don't care what the name is. Yep. They could change it 30 times. 7-2.
Yep.
Umanyora,
yeah,
for life.
For life.
That's crazy.
It is crazy.
You never talk about it. I remember I text you. I was at a game, and I sent you the picture, and your poster was there. The big banner.
Yeah.
Not just the name of the stadium, but just walking in. I'm just like, OC's in London, posted up.
Yeah.
I'm at the game, and it's just like, yo.
It's surreal.
Bro, man, when you play, think about it. You start to play your career. And you have all these aspirations, and you look in there and you see those names, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I want to do that when I'm done." Right? I mean,
yeah.
I never asked you this. Did you ever think about that?
I wouldn't say I thought about that. I wouldn't say I thought that this is what I want to do. I was just like, man, I just want to make it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I think that was. But as time goes on, you're like, "Wow, this is crazy.
I can do this."
Yeah. And then, you know, when I retired. And maybe like 2 weeks after I retired, I got the call, and you know, John Mara, the owner, was like,
2 weeks?
2 weeks.
So they were ready.
2 weeks after I retired, they were like, "We're putting you in the Ring of Honor this year," and they usually never happens, right?
Wow.
So yeah, so I was like, wow. And so, you know, I go there and. You know, for the retirement ceremony, and you know, my family comes out, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at my name, right, with Lawrence Taylor and Michael Strahan, like some of the best players to ever play, right? And I'm looking at my name, I'm like, wow. So the Giants have been around since 1925.
One of the original teams.
Right, since 1925. And here's this Nigerian kid, right? Started playing the game at 15.
Jeez.
And you'll go down as one of the best players to ever wear that uniform. Been around 100 years, bro.
That's crazy.
It's mind-blowing. So, you know, it's just been an amazing journey. It really has.
I don't know why we're going this direction, but I'm just thinking, like, how are you able to be so humble about that, though? Like, truly, I'm not just saying this, but, like, you just don't... Like, bro, like, you're not excited. You're excited about things, but you're not. You don't brag. Like, I'm gonna bring people in because this is our podcast. When you watch OC on our show, and he's bragging, and he's doing that. That's not OC.
That's not me. Right.
He's doing it because it's funny.
Right.
And we're joking, but that's not who you are in life at all.
Right.
I, on the opposite, if I would have been 2-time Super Bowl champion, I would have had my Super Bowl. In my ears right now. The rings would have been in my ears. I walk down the street. I would walk into Tesco's, Sainsbury's, Waitrose, all of them. They'd be like, that man's won a championship. Yeah. And I don't even know what sport it's from. Yeah. But that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
so, and you're the opposite.
Yeah. I'll tell you why. And this is probably going to tie into some other things that we're probably going to talk about later on in this podcast.
Okay.
But I grew up. You know, I was born here, moved to Nigeria, and, you know, we were raised wealthy, right?
Right.
But all around us was just poverty.
Yes.
Right?
So we were raised wealthy. You saw that disparity.
So I saw it, right? Mm-hmm. And I also understood that I very easily could have been
on that other side.
On that other side.
Ooh.
very, very easily.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so everything about my story, you know, being born to the parents that I was born to, coming to America, being even born here, you know, just everything about my story has let me know that I've been more lucky than...
Then, crazy, right?
Yeah, like I understand it. And so when you understand how lucky you really are, you don't really, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, I did this.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's just the luck of the draw, realistically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It really was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the what you see me doing on TV is we're entertainers, right?
Yeah,
we entertain people.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny and... Yeah. Like, if I was at home watching, I would want to see that. And I'd be like, Ali, this guy is silly. So that's why I do that. But realistically, and that's why a lot of people who watch the show and they know me, they're like, who is that guy? I don't know who that is. Right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. So that's why I behave like that.
We'll go to dinner, and it'll be things happening. And Osea had this eclectic group of people, all kind of stuff, all kind of walks of life. And I'll be having these conversations with them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, these people are all fascinating. And you don't hold court. You just let people tell their story.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like you know nobody there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's powerful. It's a good skill to have. I mean, I guess if you're around people with a lot of power and resources, I would say that's how you'd want them to use it.
Mm.
You know, I would say that. And that's probably why you are lucky in life and things are cross your path because you can handle it. Maybe if you couldn't handle it.
It wouldn't happen, right?
Yeah. Just an assumption. But it's I get to see it. It's fascinating. And, yeah, it's good to be around, and I enjoy it. It's also good to be around the NFL.
Mm.
And enjoy that.
You know, one of my friends called me and told me yesterday.
Tell me.
Shout out to Wale.
Wale.
Yeah,
another Wale. Great player.
Great football players. The doing something.
He's the head of wealth management for UBS.
Right.
Athletic division. Yeah, yeah. Very smart guy.
So Wale calls me yesterday, and he's like, "Listen."
Listen is always a dangerous start.
Listen. There is no sport in the world like the NFL. He said that there's just nothing like it.
Nothing
like it. The things that you see happen on a weekly basis,
man,
happens nowhere else.
It doesn't.
He never talks like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's just sitting there, he's watching these games for the past 3 weeks. He's like, this is just craziness.
Yeah.
This is craziness, right? And it's incredible.
It is.
Yeah?
It really is. It's what's fascinating, too, and coming from Wale's standpoint, and I say this because he's working every day. He's very distracted.
Yeah.
He's got a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
And as former players, until we probably, when we first retired, you got right into this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even though I was involved with it in the financial part of it, it wasn't like I was watching the games like this.
Right.
Maybe it was because I was a little sad, but it wasn't this intense.
Why were you sad?
I missed it a little bit.
You missed football.
I missed my friends.
So you missed your friends.
Yeah.
Okay.
I missed my friends.
Okay, let me ask you this then, Jason.
Like I missed my friends.
Let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Did you love football?
Yes.
You loved it.
I think so, yeah.
With all your heart.
I did, yep.
Why?
Probably, it's one of those things that when I was a kid and I started playing, it just hooked me.
Got you.
I mean, I remember, it wasn't like, my dad wasn't a huge sports fan. He was a NASCAR fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up at the racetracks. Anything with cars, like I was around all that. That wasn't joy.
Yeah.
But, man, once I remember watching those football games, you know, my neighbor around the block I grew up with, his father was big into it. That's why I started playing Pop Warner football and the youth football. And I just loved it. I remember being in trouble, you know, not having good grades.
Yeah.
For some reason, I had a bad patch through, like, 10 to 13, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, this kid might not make it,
yeah.
You know. And I would be in trouble, couldn't go anywhere on the weekends, but I could watch football. Man, full games, bro. Locked in. Legos, full games of football. I loved it. It was hard as a professional.
Yeah.
And you had you made it a business, but inside I think there's something you and I both loved about it to make us work as hard as we did. Mm. Because what we saw is a lot of players that had talent that didn't have that love, something happened and they just didn't perform.
Yes.
They had to have it. One of the biggest fears with organizations is, man, once I give this person all of this money, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a conversation they have, mm-hmm. right? Because it's tough to get up and do the stuff you have to do to prepare,
yeah.
how you push yourself in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Something you love about that game,
yes.
or what it does to you, makes you put it all on the line
yep.
and sacrifice.
Yep.
Did you love it? I'm trying to, you see, my whole conversation was to convince you that you loved it.
Did I love football? I fell in love with football
mm-hmm.
in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Most people love it way before they get to the league.
Yeah.
And in the league, you have to tap into that.
Yeah.
Beginning love that you once had.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I fell in love with football in the NFL.
Okay.
That's the first time like I was like, I love this.
What was it about the game?
Okay.
Or just the NFL in period.
So it was I started playing football
mm-hmm.
when I was like 15.
Right.
Right? So my whole life it was all soccer
mm-hmm.
prior to then.
Mm-hmm.
So soccer is like, I love soccer.
As you do still.
Right, I still play. I play. If my knee, my
it don't
ankle,
matter.
It don't matter.
I seen you limp in here.
Yeah,
oh, I got a game
matter,
today.
Man,
I'm like, dog,
I'm
going to
go
doing?
Play, right?
Yeah.
Love it, right?
Right.
Because it's in my blood.
Yeah. Truly
so,
is.
American football was, I got to America, and this is what everybody was doing. And I didn't really have many friends.
Yeah.
And people treat you... Like, coming from where I come from, and I went to Alabama,
accent.
Oddly enough. Yeah, and it was just a lot of, you know, it wasn't nice. And I'm not even talking about, like,
yeah.
racism.
No,
I'm talking
no, no.
about, like, from black
kids.
People. Right,
kids.
Right, right.
Kids
right.
being mean to kids.
Just being mean, right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't really have a lot of friends. So I was like, okay, this is what everybody's doing. Maybe I can fit in if I
play this game.
Mm-hmm. And so I went there, started playing the game. Turns out I was pretty good at it, right?
You fit in.
You fit in right away, right?
I know.
You fit in right away. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I can go to school. I can go
yeah.
to college
by
playing this.
By having fun with my friends,
you know,
my new friends.
Yeah. And I literally came to America to go to school,
yeah,
right?
So.
And so I can get a free education playing this. Oh, cool.
Right.
Kept playing.
Right. Yep.
And then as I keep playing, I'm still playing the game. Still don't truly understand or really
yeah.
feel it, but... I'm just getting good, just through repetition.
Got you on the path that you want to go anyways.
So I'm like, okay, cool. I'll keep doing this. This is nice.
Yeah.
Right? This is cool.
This is all right.
I'm a senior.
Right.
They're going to pay me millions of dollars to keep doing this?
Yeah, yeah.
Are you kidding? I don't have to go to be a doctor anymore?
Because yeah. that's what I was supposed
that's
to do.
That's what I was supposed to do. I don't have to go do that anymore. So I'm going to do this?
I can stop school now?
Wow, incredible. And so then I made it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And then you make it to the NFL, and I think I just got to the point where most guys like you, you were there from a very early
yes,
age,
the
right?
The love was there.
Right.
Oh,
and
yeah.
so I just got to that point because I started playing so much later.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And so I get in the NFL, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, this sport, the things that it does, the
yeah.
things that, you know, the strategy, the
yeah.
things that you think, the things that happen. I'm like, this is the best. It's the best sport, man. It really is the coolest sport to understand and play. It's fascinating.
Yes, I'm really glad we're having this conversation because we don't get to have this a lot.
Mm.
And you're right. And I think once you get to the pros,
yep.
this weird thing happens. And I've witnessed it throughout the league.
Yep.
It truly becomes like any business in the world. If you are smart and gifted at what you do,
mm-hmm.
you know, smart at what you do, you know, intelligence can be described in all kind of ways, right?
Yep.
The smart football players succeed.
Yes.
It's this, you see all this talent, like, yep, in the collegiate level, on the youth sports, high school, talent succeeds.
Yes.
Smart players do too, but they're kind of just right there. But yeah, talent shines. Mm-hmm. My goodness, in the NFL?
Yeah, it's the smarts.
It's the smarts. How do you play that long if you don't know, A, the game, mm-hmm, B, understanding how to get prepare for the game, yep, and C, how to take care of yourself?
Yeah.
All that takes intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And watching and witnessing that, I mean, when I look at my friends that I play with that are coaches now, under no circumstances am I surprised.
Yeah, you knew.
Bro, look at these dudes. You know, Jason Simmons, a friend of mine who's in Carolina right now, DB coach. He was a safety. He was a corner with me, moved to safety. Dude knew everything. He's out there making it crack. Mm-hmm. He's just Aaron Glenn, one of the smartest players I've ever been around. Like, these dudes, they knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
Antonio Pierce, we always talk about him. The dude, he's like
so
you.
Smart.
I'm like, if I see you pull out a note, I'm worried.
Yeah.
Our middle linebacker, never had notes, in the meeting with his arms crossed, mm-hmm, didn't miss anything.
Yep.
He had it all down. And yes, he was physically gifted. But the way he was, you don't think AP was gifted? AP better not be listening.
Physically
to this.
Gifted,
yeah.
Antonio Pierce.
AP could run.
He could run.
He was okay. He wasn't the you wouldn't put him in a lineup and be like, that is my middle linebacker.
Right.
Got it.
Right. Like, you wouldn't say, oh, this is like Urlacher.
Yeah.
When you see those, yeah, you'd be like, right, these guys are physically
you just
gifted.
Blown my whole thing out the water. Right. Yeah, you're right.
AP, he was a very talented player.
He was
very smart.
Smarter than
very
smart. Everybody. If we were in the game and he pointed a direction,
the ball was going there.
Go.
Yeah.
Like, you can second guess him if you want.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I've seen him in other businesses and other ventures, and the way he looks at the information, it's dissecting film.
Mm.
And you look at these skills, you're just talking about Wale and
yep,
what he's been able to do. And I think the fascinating thing about our game is we have these, because it is so mind intensive,
mm-hmm,
it's so strategic that you learn ways and tricks on how you learn and process
yes,
information that you can apply other places.
100%.
And there's not a lot of things that challenge you, I think, in sports like that, where you have to do it on the fly on the field. You
mm-hmm
have to adjust on the field. Like, in the game, you'd have to see something.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to adjust. You can come to the sideline, this is happening, but you'd have to physically do it.
Yep.
Then it's getting drawn up. You have to adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, you got to forget it all and do it again.
Do something else. Yeah.
You know, and then so when yeah, you go and do something else and you retire or go into another venture, it's kind of like, I got all these skills. And I just believe this game, what makes it so great to watch, is exactly what we've got out of it and what makes it so great to play.
Yep. 100%.
And now the NFL has done such a good job. I've complained about rules and stuff being a defensive back. But now I'm looking at things they've changed throughout the year. And I've witnessed one thing, OC. Truly, they have regulated middle range players out of the game.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You can't just be a tough guy.
Yeah.
You can't just be an enforcer.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be a DB that's a corner that, oh, he's physical and he's going
to
do this.
Hit.
If you don't have real ball skills, fluid, athletic, you know, the stuff that looks sweet
yep,
and highlights,
mm-hmm,
you can't even play, OC.
Yeah. It's the best of the best athletes. It's ridiculous, bro.
They're like, we're going to, by the rules and the way they enforce it,
yeah,
it's like, if you can't adjust, you don't play, and
yeah,
we don't pick you, which now brings this new athlete in,
mm-hmm,
and I'm witnessing it. I mean, I'm seeing big hits. That big hit on Gronkowski this week,
mm-hmm,
it was a big hit. Took him out the game.
Yeah.
But he didn't hit him in the head.
Mm.
He didn't hit him in the knee. He hit him right, you know, in his
yeah,
side.
Yeah, get out of
with his
here,
shoulder.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
We'll see you next
it
time.
It was physical, but they're adjusting. Yeah,
yeah.
And it's like, I'm going to knock the wind out of you,
yeah,
and you're going to be out of this game. But it is.
Not dirty.
Not dirty.
Yeah.
You have to be precise. You got to practice it. You got to drill it.
Mm.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
It is.
Agree.
It is. And these games we're getting, Who knew this would be this competitive at the beginning?
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
No, yeah. I was expecting a lot of teams to kind of just try to find their way, start a little slow. Mm. Don't panic, you know. Things will figure itself out after about four games. And I'm like, how are these teams rolling like this?
Yeah. I've seen from all my studying and everything that we've watched, I've seen maybe two or three bad football teams.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Two or three bad football teams.
Just bad.
And then there's 29 who on any given Sunday
can win.
They could win the game.
They can win.
And that's crazy.
Nuts.
That's crazy.
It is
nuts. Anybody, any one of those 29 teams can beat any one of the other ones and on any given Sunday. I've never seen anything like it before.
Absolutely. And it's like, you know, fight sports. We both like fight sports. I mean, it's the matchups.
Yeah.
It's this is a good fight for you. This is a good, you know, challenger. Oh, this doesn't work good for how you've built your team.
Mm.
That's why, you know, for people watching that maybe aren't as familiar, listening and watching. Oh, yeah, we're on YouTube.
Yeah.
They're watching.
Yeah, did you mention that earlier?
Yeah, I did, didn't I?
We're on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So they're watching too.
Just making sure.
Yeah. Just, you know, when you start talking out the side of your mouth, you're talking ridiculous.
Yeah.
I need two times. To let me...
You know how that nickname really came about?
Tell me.
Let's tell the whole world. Because we're on the show, and prior to the show, as I was thinking about doing the intro, I was like, this is going to be... going to say
for
Jason
Tuesday
Bell.
Show for all those who don't watch, please
Tuesday
watch
at 11:15.
Yeah, please watch.
Yeah, yes. BBC Two.
Yeah,
BBC One, BBC Two.
Yeah, if you want to keep us on, please watch.
Please, we appreciate that. So I'm like, I'm going to introduce this. I'm going to say Jason Bell, aka J Bell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be like, OC Umenyoro. And then I thought to myself, I was like, I don't have a what's my moniker? I don't have a cool nickname.
But your name, OC, is just so
it
stands out. There's only one.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's true, but still, I do appreciate a cool nickname.
I like a cool nickname. Everybody deserves one.
Yeah.
Everybody,
so,
especially you.
Yeah, so that's where it came from.
Two times.
No, it's not two times.
I know, two times.
Two times.
But I'm saying two times because it's like two chains. Every time I say two times, I say two chains.
You know what happened to me yesterday, Jason?
Tell me. I want to know. I'm interested as I sip this NFL coffee.
Yeah.
Thank you, NFL.
I went to a meeting.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm not going to say where it was.
Oh, I know about, I forgot. Oh, man, we haven't talked about this.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell us how much you can tell us.
So I went to the meeting. And the meeting is in my kid's school. I'm not going to say the name of the school.
No, heck no, you're not.
But they're discussing the... There's been some... I'm not going to call them incidents, but there's been a whole push for diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yes.
It happened in America. And
keywords.
It has moved over here.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of... You know, there's been a lot of angst and, you know, there's been a lot of, I wouldn't say vitriol, but there's just been a lot of pushback on a lot of the things that are being, you know, taught discussed in the schools and people feel in a certain type of way. And here's...
It's emotional, isn't it?
It's extremely emotional.
Yeah.
Extremely emotional.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something that's actually quite controversial here,
okay,
Jason.
Because I had a feeling that was going to happen.
I'm going to say something that's quite controversial here.
Okay.
Number one.
Mm-hmm.
All black people are not the same.
All, of course not.
They're not.
Your color doesn't. No.
Black people are not a monolith.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
I feel like there's this... It's just like there's Spanish, there's Italian, there's French, there's American, there's... And when you talk about, like, white people, they're like... You know, they're different, right? And I think that is universally accepted, right? But it seems to me like...
Okay, yep.
When you discuss black people or people of color, it's like they talk about us like we're just all the same, right?
Yeah, the whole PLC moniker, you know,
right.
They just throw you in a
thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the controversial part.
Okay.
And this is going to come as a surprise to a lot of people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of scared, but yet.
We're not all oppressed.
Of course not.
We're not.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, there's a lot of people who don't understand that concept.
Is it because it's easier, like anything, to put things in groups?
100%.
And categorize them and kind of just say, all right, this makes sense to me.
100%.
Okay.
So we're discussing white privilege,
mm-hmm.
and all these different things, right?
Okay.
But I want to ask...
Maybe that's the first mistake.
...our good friend, Simon, a question here.
Okay.
I want to ask you a question, Simon.
Simon don't want no parts of it.
I want to ask Simon a question. Mm-hmm.
Before you start, can I say something?
Yes, please.
You said white privilege, and I said, you know, I think that assumption
mm-hmm.
is where the issue starts.
Yes.
Because it just should be privilege. Like, if you start
well done.
With that, everything else you talk about, to me, is categorically going to be misleading.
100%, Jason.
Just by that pure definition, let's talk about privilege. And all different people fit into different categories. We just had this long talk about the NFL and the privilege that gave us. It's privilege.
100%.
You know, and you said something earlier, and I have a chart. I always look at it in this picture to remind myself, because it's so hard to define inequality, equity, equality, and justice.
Yes.
They're very hard to define. I have a picture chart to remind me exactly how those things work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As much time as I spend focused on them, I'm still like, okay, yeah, let me give a picture for that definition
yes.
as I speak on it.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead, what you were saying.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
So my question for you is this, Simon.
I tried to help you, Simon. I tried. Didn't work. The man's like an elephant. He doesn't forget.
If you, my kid and your kid, go to the same school, right? Let's say they're going to a very good private school.
Mm.
My kid and your kid, right? And they both take the same classes, right? They both get, maybe your kid gets an A+, and my kid gets like an A-, right? They take the SAT. They both decide they want to go to Harvard University, right? They take the SAT. Your kid scores a 1250. My kid scores a 1240, right? And they both want to go to Harvard, right? Whose kid do you think is getting into Harvard now? Your kid or my kid?
That's tricky. Sorry. It all depends.
Not as much as you would think. Whose kid do you think is getting into Harvard right now? Your kid or my kid?
I feel there's a trick here.
Yeah, because that's...
I just say your kid.
My kid.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good. Now, the fact of the matter is, right now, you would be 100% correct. You would be. You would be 100% correct right now. And I'm going to tell you the reason why that is, right? Or let me ask you this. Why do you think that would be?
No, I'm sorry. No.
You're not going to answer that. You're not going to answer that question, right?
I don't know how you can say that.
Okay, let me tell you how I can say that,
okay?
Because yeah. I've actually done the research.
Okay.
Now, here's what's happening. You have a whole lot of people. Obviously, you know the white population is more than the black population, for sure, in the UK. So now what you have is a push for diversity, right? Equity and inclusion. You have that. You've had that over the past 5 years. You have actually companies who are making it a point to do this, right? Right. So now, if you have two qualified people, equally qualified people, white and black, right? Because there's so many more white people than black people who are qualified, these companies, because of this push that they're making, now look to hire the black person before the white.
You said something, though. It's not that they're more qualified. It's just there's more people.
Who said anything about being more qualified?
You said there's
more. I said equally qualified.
But you said there's more white people that are qualified.
Because there's more people.
Right.
Got it.
Okay.
So now, what has happened is, if you are a black person that is highly educated or just as qualified as a white person, you actually have the advantage. This is a fact.
A smaller minority, though, is at the advantage.
They are at the advantage,
but
right?
How are you at an advantage when it's less of you?
I'm not talking about black people in general.
Right.
I'm talking about the highly educated or the highly qualified black people are at the advantage.
Interesting.
Tell me how I'm wrong.
I didn't say you're wrong. I'm trying to follow you.
Yeah. No, just think through it.
Yeah. It makes sense to me, but it's like a lot is being left out.
Let me tell you something. Let me just tell you something that happened to my sister recently.
Because you're using these one-off things that make a lot of sense that you cannot challenge, but I feel like, are we trying to encapsulate all of them into this one theory and philosophy? And it's kind of hard for me to do, but your points and stories make sense.
The theory and philosophy is not black people are at the advantage. The theory and philosophy is black people who are highly educated and highly qualified in this given environment are at the advantage.
Yes. Okay.
And this is just the reality.
Got it.
This is what happened to my sister recently, right? My sister was a software engineer, right? She was working at a company. She was doing very, very well. She left. She went back to Nigeria. She's like, you know what? I want to try something else. Went back to Nigeria. She was in Nigeria for 7 years, right? Just doing her own thing. She was like, whatever. Decided she wants to come back to America, right? Because, you know, Nigeria sometimes is just not the most conducive environment for success.
Yeah, that's true.
She's like, she wants to come back to America. So she applied for a job, right? Applied for a job at the position she was in when she left.
Got it.
7 years ago, right? She goes to the interview. Company looks at her resume. She's like, oh, yeah, this is cool, but we're going to hire you for a position 2 levels above.
And she's just trying to come back, you know, hey, pay, you know, I figured I got to come back and earn my stripes again.
They hired her at a level 2 levels above where she was before, right? Now, am I upset? I'm extremely happy, right? I'm happy for her, right? But the fact of the matter is this. Her being a highly educated, highly qualified individual.
Right.
And the fact that there's just not enough.
Yes, the lack of talent.
Has now put her.
Or the lack of access to the
talent. The lack of access to the talent has now put her at the advantage.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I agree with this. I agree with this.
There is.
I agree with this.
At this particular point in time.
Yeah.
A privilege.
I agree with that. But I agree with what you're saying as far as where we are now at that point. I was kind of confused on when you're at the start in the genesis of the process when you're like, you know, trying to get into school admissions. Because there's a whole lot more to that. But you are right. Because I have said this many times. I feel like at this time, being who I am, being who you are, there's an advantage.
Yes.
We've been forced to understand everything and everybody. Business culture has been one way. I can understand that. I understand all these different cultures and languages because I've been forced to. No one was going to adjust to me. My mother, father always used to tell me, this is how you talk with your friends, this is how you talk here, this is how you act here, this is how you do that, right? So now at this point where we are in a world that is thirsty for diversity, different voices, all the things that are necessary for growth, who can talk that language?
Mm.
Who's comfortable in that? Who's been trained at it? Now, I don't know how long that window is, OC.
Nobody knows.
It could be 5 years. It could be 2 years. Because these kids are different. I've been over to your house, and I've seen your son and his eclectic group of friends, and I was like, this is the world.
Mm.
This is what the world is. These kids are like, we don't care what we look like. We just friends. We just see this, you know, they're listening to the same stuff, talking the same way, wearing the same stuff. Nobody has to act a certain way because they're a certain color. It's different.
Yep.
But not in our age group.
Mm-hmm.
So I have benefited from exactly what you're saying.
100%.
The reason I was able to build my financial firm is because I witnessed, it's different now, like Wale and other people in the industry. I was like, they can't translate.
Yeah.
They've never talked to anybody that didn't look like them.
But you could.
But I could.
But you could.
But I could. And then talk and be comfortable in whatever environment I was in. Now, it was because of my parents.
Yeah.
It was because of my circumstance. Is that privilege? Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So when you say, when the first thing you said, white privilege, I was like, I'm privileged.
Jason.
My parents moved from one area to another in a great neighborhood. My grandparents helped my parents out. I didn't have a day of struggle, OC.
Jason.
Maybe I did.
Jason.
I need to stop telling all my business right now.
But here's the thing, Jason, right? Is that we can recognize that.
Right.
We can understand that, right?
Yeah.
But there is, and I'm going to say a majority of people, and I'm talking about black people and white people, right?
All people
who would not understand that.
Mm. I think it's hard to think of yourself and your circumstances as their own, as its own individual, you know, kind of microcosm, you
yep.
know? It's mm-hmm. like it's your experience is unique. You should learn it, and you should look at how everything relates around you based on your experience and things that have impacted you, right?
Yep.
And be open to that and understand where you start and how that looks
mm-hmm.
and instead of just putting things in their cups and letting them be in a category, because it's hard to how boring would the world be if every time I looked or met somebody or was in a different circumstance, I judged that person on
yeah.
what I thought. It would suck. First of all, I couldn't even play sports and be good. Because mm-hmm. if I lined up and thought, I just can't, you know, I got to see this and react to what is happening in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's how I treat people. I just don't think people do that because it's easy to not think it through.
Yep. And so going back to the school,
mm-hmm.
right?
Which I'm not sure I agree with. But I agree with 99.9.5% of everything you're saying.
Going back to school, yeah. They're bringing something that doesn't necessarily apply
mm-hmm.
to the kids in that particular school.
Okay. Right. So you
it
yeah.
doesn't necessarily yeah. apply to
right.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's 100%.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not bringing in once again, it's easy to categorize. We're just going to put all you in this box instead of looking at the entire situation holistically and saying, "All right, this can be true, but what about this? What about this?" It's more boxes, it's more information that needs to be gathered, which we understand people are lazy.
They're lazy.
But also, it's hard when you are in these positions and you're forced to make change, right? Somebody comes in and says, we need more of this. You need to change this. It's a reactionary.
Yeah.
So you're doing whatever you can as fast as you can and you're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
And it's up to people in those organizations to say, hey, we might have missed here. Hey, look at that. And you need to keep evolving and changing. You cannot be stuck in one way of delivering a product or a message or admissions. You have to constantly figure out how do we change this for the better. And I think why I'm really happy with what you're doing and being involved in this is that it's the diversity of voice and thought that promotes that change
yep.
and allows things to improve.
100%. Yeah.
So maybe now I do agree. All right, this time. Oh, man, that was a good one, bro. The Two Times and Jay Bell podcast. Yeah, it was, we thought it was going to be a quick one, but we had to give the people what they wanted, and that was interesting, man.
That was
40-something minutes, so that was good. You know what? Hit us up. Let us know about that conversation. We love hearing your viewpoints on all this, and we were going to talk about the book. OC put me on the book club, but we'll talk about that next time. But yeah, man, we miss y'all. This week's going to be a great group of games. Can't wait to look at them and just party up all Sunday night, man. Uprise all day. We don't play. Holla at us.